Welcome to the Strength Rehab Podcast. Join your hosts, Raul Axmayer and Brandon Parker, as they discuss the latest information regarding the health and fitness industries. Topics include sports performance, physical rehab, and of course, general health. Remember, this is the podcast where science meets practice.
It is a beautiful Saturday morning. Yesterday it was 66 degrees in the morning.
It was like 63 here. I loved it.
Dude, I thought I was having a stroke. Like, I stepped outside. I'm like, this can't be right. So, you know, today I was just, before I clicked this recording button, I said, like, we're just going to keep it real simple. I'm just going to use my butterfly brain to ask you various questions, and then I will put my own opinion in onto that. So we're going to keep it very fitness centric today, where I'm just going to ask you, Raul, like, okay, we're going to go down the body parts. Let's just start with shoulders, right? What do you think is the worst shoulder exercise that you see a lot of people do?
For what? Hypertrophy or what?
You know what? Let's start with hypertrophy, but then you can also go for like an overall, just in general, like, this is a stupid movement.
That's a good question. I want to say any movement is stupid, but I do not hate, but I don't find a lot of value because I think there's a lot better. The dumbbell, like bent over rear delt fly, I just think there are so many better options. And my lower back gets so fatigued even if I'm sitting on a bench.
Yeah.
That's the first one that comes to mind. I hate it. I personally hate it.
It is, when you do think about the rear delt fly with the dumbbell, it's just like you're only really catching that tension. That real good contraction only like at the peak, you know? So it does, if you can get your hands on some cables or something like that, like the tension is just tenfold, you know? So I can definitely endorse that. I would say from like a rehab perspective, there might be some merit to it, but like if you are a chiropractic client, you're most likely not post-op. I hate the banded or cable external internal rotations. Like, there's so many other things that you could be doing other than wasting your time with this garbage exercise. I would say my favorite exercise, and it's more just because I like it. It jives at me well. I love the barbell overhead press. I don't know why I hate dumbbells, but there's just something about the barbell overhead press that you don't have to force me to do it. If I don't know what I'm doing, I'll just go do that. What about
it's
you?
It's like you feel like a god when you're like pressing a heavy barbell over your head, right?
Right, man. And I've been switching up my pressing technique, and I don't know if this is more like a mind body thing or anything like that, but instead of pushing just straight up like I used to, just like, all right, get the weight up, point A, point B, I've been trying to like forcefully abduct my arms to force that upwards vector, and I've been feeling just a much better contractions throughout the whole delt itself. I don't know if I'm still just hammering my front delt and my upper chest more than anything, but that little tweak definitely feels like it's making a difference.
Nice. Smart. I'm getting technical here.
Well, I mean, it's just something I've been thinking about because it's just like I always bench heavy. I mean, all that. I always bench a lot. It's always a high volume in my programming. And it's just like, well, now I'm just doing the same thing, but just with the barbells above me, right? So I was just like, let me see if I can get a little bit more out of the rear delts with this movement. What about you?
Barbell benched in a very long time since the program that we did, like that 8-week one. It was a very long time ago.
It cooks my shoulders. I mean, even if like I ramp up slowly and like it just as soon as I'm getting close to like 85 and above percent of my max, it just starts to cook my shoulders, and I just would rather get more volume out of some dumbbell work. Or if I'm going to do like a fixed press, I'd rather do dips.
I love dips for the lower chest.
It's and there's something about it too. Like it all comes down to that chest angle, right? Like you really got to make sure your angles, like your chest is in the right spot if you want to hit the right areas.
If not, it's going to be all triceps.
You know what? I have a question for you. What do you think? What exercise out there do you think that like the devil is in the details, right? Like, so for example, like, you could do this exercise. You can mimic it from something you saw on a video or something to do. But if you're not doing a couple things, you're missing like the whole purpose of the exercise, or you're not getting as good as a contraction as you should. Does anything depending come to mind?
Depending on what you want to hit, right, and what muscles you want to bias, I would say the split squat.
Go on.
It's the first one that comes to mind because a lot of people are like, oh, my quads, like when I do split squats, I want my quads to be great, like huge or whatever. And then the day after, I only feel it in my glutes. Okay, like how are you doing? How long of a step are you taking? Like what's your torso angle? All of that stuff that people just see a split squat and they just do it and they don't think about all of the details. Is your knees going over toes? What's your shin angle? What's your torso angle? All of that stuff. I think that's the first one that comes to mind.
That's a great point. Like what I've been talking to clients, I always say elevator versus escalator, right? Like, are you going straight up and down or are you feeding into that knee? Because that's going to be a drastic difference. And another thing, just to circle back what you said, I think is highly underrated is the torso angle, right? Like just, I couldn't believe it. I was watching a video just like, oh, how do you do a rear, a reverse lunge where you can really focus on the glutes? And it was mainly just torso angle, right? Like really lean forward, right? And get that real big hip extension. And bro, like three sets in and I was just like, I don't need to do any other posterior work right now because this thing is destroyed.
And the same thing applies for like rehab. Like I have a lot of clients that struggle with the split squat because they're like, I feel it more in my lower back than in my chest. And then they send you a video and their torso is like, boom. I'm like, sure. I mean, you're stressing your lower back a lot. There's nothing wrong with that, but it just doesn't make any sense. What about if we use a more upright torso? And they're like, oh my gosh, it feels so much better. So it's so simple sometimes. It's that simple sometimes.
And it's... You know, like I always get blown away by the simplicity of things in the sense of like, okay, you and I will talk at a higher level just because that's where we're at and that's what interests us. But like as simple as just like, yo, dude, just like don't lean forward. It is like the magical answer that blows people's minds but granted, I guess like I always look at like the parallels where it's just if I went to, I don't know, an insurance agent or a tax preparer or something like that, like, well, are you doing form 9999? It's like, what are you talking about? It's just like, oh, that's simple. It's just like, I guess I always take, right. Like, I guess I always take it for granted, like how much we truly do know.
Oh, yeah. But I love to talk about all of this stuff with people that know, because not a lot of people know about all of this stuff, about angles and vectors and all of that stuff.
It's, you know, and I think that if people as a whole got better at simplifying things, the world would just be a better place in the sense of like, all right, so for example, I always like to pick people's brains specifically if they are very good in one of my new common interests. So, for example, I was talking to somebody that was very good at photography. And I was just like, hey, like, how are you getting this type of shot? Like, how are you getting this lighting? I know you're outside. And, you know, controlling the outdoor elements is very hard. And he just starts throwing words at me. And I'm just like, just kind of like nodding. Just like nodding and waving kind of type thing. Just like, okay, all right. I can't wait until I can change. Right. I can't wait till I can change the subject because I don't even know how to respond. And I don't want to feel like he just wasted his time.
I wonder how many times we as rehab professionals do that, right?
Oh,
we think we're simplifying stuff. But when you see patients, like the look in their face, I'm like, yeah, this is definitely not simple for them.
And I guess that's where the danger comes, right? We've said this before where it's just you have to get to the point where you meet them where they're at. But sometimes meeting them where they're at, you're so simplified that you're kind of throwing the baby out with the bathwater for, you know, it's just kind of, for example, just, oh, just do XYZ. And then just like, well, that's not a law, but for you, just do this, right? Because they don't even care about the explanation sometimes.
Exactly. A lot of times.
Now, okay, so I like the split squat. You can easily mess that up. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that really fits that build. Squatting makes a lot of sense. Deadlifting, pretty simplistic. It's pretty hard to mess up a deadlift other than just putting way too much intensity on it.
You should look at the clients that I'm working with.
You know what? I will stand here corrected. There is sometimes where I'm very surprised where people are not understanding how to hinge. you know?
That's the one of the most common issues. They do not know the hip hinge. It's like they either squat the deadlift or they just bend the hell out of their spine, which I know there's nothing wrong, but I mean, we're talking about a deadlift, not a Jefferson curl, you know?
Right, exactly. And it's just coming back to what's the goal here, right? Like, if you're really trying to stress those hamstrings and glutes, don't bend the spine, right?
Or at least limit yourself.
Exactly. Yeah, of course. And I don't want to sound like that's law, of course. But yeah, if we're just trying to get all that force to go into the target area, try not to diffuse that, right? And yeah, it's kind of interesting. What I usually been doing now, I just have them. So we have a Smith machine in our gym. I just have them like, okay, all right, you're going to have shoulder width apart, bend those knees, grab onto the Smith machine bar, and just shoot your hips back as far as possible.
Yeah, I always there's almost always a wall behind them. So I'm just like, turn your butt into the back wall. And they're like, oh, that's a movement. Because it's like, they always want it. They just go down. And I'm like, no, I want your butt to go back.
Yes. I taught a patient how to hinge because like she has like sciatic like leg pain. And I was like, well, maybe just bringing some tension through the hamstrings will bring down the discomfort that you're feeling. And she goes, okay, let's try it. Dude, she's in there. I shit you not, every day doing some sort of RDL now. She's like, it just feels so good.
A lot of people don't know how to hinge.
No, not at all. I pull her to the side after that. I'm like, hey, look, like, we're going to have a talk about load management now.
Yeah. You're too much too soon.
Exactly. Well, because it's just it's an interesting world we live in where, like, we prescribe exercise for health solutions, right? And you're already fighting this stigma of, like, deadlift's terrible for your back. And, like, let's say they start just going crazy because they love the movement. It's just like, great, something's going to happen to them. And they're not going to blame their activity. They're going to blame the fact that exercise they used, right?
Now that you say that, I find it funny because I obviously work in the PI setting, right? And like I call it like phases of rehab, like phase 1, 2, 3. Mm-hmm. And then on phase 3, I do a lot of deadlifts with clients. And I find it funny that a lot of them are like, why are we doing deadlifts with this kettlebell if like I have like a disc herniation? And I'm like, well, and that's then you enter in that conversation. But I think nobody, or at least like a very minimal amount of people in the PI setting do deadlifts, I guess.
And that's kind of the big thing, right? No exercise is mandatory, but I do think that like if you're looking for an exercise that's going to fit the build of empowering somebody to not be scared to flex forward, I can't think of anything better than the hip hinge underneath some type of load, right?
Yep. And they're like, oh, but is this dangerous or what will the lawyer say? And I'm like, your lawyer doesn't have to say anything because like I've been learning more about billing and coding and documentation and all of that. Yeah. So like my treatment goals, for example, of a deadlift is like increase resiliency to daily activities and whatnot. So we're not talking about pain, like nothing to do with pain. We're just making you more capable.
Right.
Which should be the treatment goal if you're using therapeutic exercise. But yeah, just a side note.
I had a good client that, you know, I could be, you know, when you vibe well with somebody and you know that you can kind of let your guard down and talk to them like a friend almost. Well, you know, somebody was talking to me about like, all right, why are we going to do deadlift? I heard it's bad for your back. And I kind of like shot it to him very straight. I grabbed a rag, like a wash towel next to us. I threw it on the ground. I said, pick that up. And he picked it up and like it looked terrible. And I was like, that's why. We're gonna improve that.
It's a smart illustration.
I mean, obviously you can't do that with everyone, you know, and I guess that's part of reading the room. But it definitely worked well because now it's to the point where a little bit of the background, this client was using a grabber. Anything on the ground, they would just go grab a grabber. And it's just like, you're too young. Yeah, you should be doing that regardless, but you're way too young to be doing this. And now the person, he's like, oh, I use it sometimes, but it's not that bad. And so progress.
Slowly but steady. What's your current training split?
My current training split? It's I am in a maintenance phase. You know why? This is more because of like improper time management, I would say. Is so I have 2 hours between my first shift and my second shift of the day, and I can't turn my brain off when it comes to social media right now, just because I don't have a lot of things prepped. So right now, even though like I have a great, what I feel is a great training split for me, I can't really push intensity well because I can't stop thinking about what I need to be doing. It's kind of like really interfering with my training. That's why
we're 1 month, you're going to be burnt out.
Right. And I agree. It's, I think what I'm looking for, what I'm trying to do is try to like on this weekend, but my weekends are pretty packed too, is just kind of spend 15, 20, 30 minutes putting everything together. You know what I'm saying? Like everything together. So when it's time to post, I can put my phone away and just train. But to circle back and answer your question, I'm keeping it real simple. I always just do an upper lower body split just because it's ambiguous intentionally. I anytime I kind of double down on a muscle and I'm in this mindset of like being distracted, I don't want to basically waste a whole day because I just, or like waste a whole stimulus period that I could have been doing just kind of like this blanket approach. Mm-hmm. Type deal, I guess, is the way I'm explaining it. I've been doing either upper lower or full body, and I kind of decide on that Monday. I'm like, all right, or we're gonna do a full body week and just try to get a little bit of everything every day, depending That's on funny how I feel.
Yesterday, I was thinking about my training. I've been doing the same thing for like 16 weeks already, and I'm considering moving to a full body split. So we'll see, but I'll keep it at probably 5 days a week.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm surprised you were doing five for a while, right?
I've been doing five since January, yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. I like it. You have quick workouts, but I mean, for me, talk about burning out. I need that Wednesday off just to...
For me, it's like that's the only time of the day where I'm like by myself, not thinking about anything. So it's like, yeah, I prefer to do this rather than just stay home and just look at Netflix or do more work. No.
You know, I've been considering because like once again, I train at my practice's gym. I've been considering getting like a gym membership, like changing the environment. And that would probably remove me from this like rut that I'm in. And that's another thing. If you're listening and you're in a rut, change your environment. Like I, for example, when I was training at home for about 3-4 months, just switching, just going to a gym, I was like this. I just reignited my love for lifting. I'm like, oh my God, look at all these machines. Like,
oh yeah. It makes a huge difference.
It made massive. And I think right now it's just also like you can be creative and like when you're a trainer, you can definitely find all these various different things you can do to train different areas. But I mean, it goes to say, it's like, sure, you can find things, but at the end of the day, it's just, you can still get bored, right? There's only so many different ways you can pull a dumbbell. And if you don't have access to cables or a pull down machine, it's it's like, all right, you're going to either row or you're going to do a pull up or both. And it's just, if you're training back twice a week, it gets boring really fast.
Really fast, yeah.
So, I mean, I know some people are like, oh, you're a trainer. You should definitely get creative. It's like, okay, let me get super creative and ambiguous where I'm not actually creating the most optimal like back stimulus possible because I'm bored, right?
I want to do something new.
And that's a question I get a lot. And what people need to understand is don't change your exercises unless you have to, right? I thought muscle confusion was no longer a thing in the fitness industry, but it's still alive and well, you know?
Yeah, it's so unnecessary to change stuff up. If you want to change something, just change your like isolation movements if you want, but I don't even change that.
I don't change unless I have to. And I think when the big thing I always decide when to change is just like when I'm just like, this sucks. Like if I'm doing something very like isolated. Yeah. Like if I'm doing a leg extension and I'm no longer getting that peak contraction and I tried lowering the weight, I tried doing like, you know, slowing the rep, I tried all these different variations of it and I'm still just not getting that connection I'm looking for. I'm just like, all right, I'm not going to force myself to do this, you know? Yeah. That's another thing. I guess that would be a big thing. What are some other things that come to mind when you're like, all right, I need to change this?
For me, it's I either get bored, I'm not progressing it, either reps, weight, or whatever way you can progress an exercise. Or I just get tired of the movement. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I've been doing this for a while. At this point, I really don't want to do it anymore, so I'm not going to torture myself.
Yeah. That's a big thing where most people need to realize is when we talk about optimal muscle growth and you disregard the psychological component, it's kind of like unbelievably it's just reductionist almost, right? Like, why aren't you doing the kneeling lat pull down? Because that's optimal, right?
I don't think it's optimal, but yeah.
Right. And it's just like, for me, it's just like, one, I don't want to sit there and do both sides and spend an extra 10 minutes or something like that when I can be done already. Two, I just don't want to do it. You know, it's just kind of the end of the day, just like, I don't care if it's optimal. If you don't want to do it, you're not going to do it. And that's probably the furthest thing from optimal.
Exactly. 100%.
Except for Turkish get-ups. Don't do those. Yeah,
hell no. So unnecessary.
You know what I was actually surprised of? There's a lot of people out there that can't get down to the ground and back up again. So, like, I was like, do I start entertaining the Turkish get-up now? And I'm still so reluctant, man. I'm just like, you know, I could figure out different ways to get off the ground.
Yeah.
I don't need a 15-step process.
Do this and that. Do this now.
And balancing a shoe on my fist. And no, thank you.
I think I've never used it or prescribed it.
I did it once just because I did it once. Dr. Shaw said, like, hey, you know how to teach the Turkish get up, right? And I go, yeah. And then in the back of my head, I'm like, oh, fuck. I don't know if I can. Like,
no.
So that night, I was just like, you know, let me try to do this. And I did it. And I was just like, I think I'm all right.
Yeah, you don't need to practice it every day to be able to do it.
Oh, yeah, no. No, just have a general idea of how to do it if you're coaching that movement. But I don't think you'd. I could take it or leave it.
Exactly.
All right. Anything else that you want to mention, Raul?
I think we hit everything that we wanted to.
That's a funny statement considering we never know what we want to hit.
People don't got to know that.